Thomas Cambridge stepped back from a high-powered career in New York and became executive director of Growing Older Together, a nonprofit organization in Wayne County dedicated to enhancing the lives of area seniors.
I think it's one of the best-kept secrets in Northeast Pennsylvania, which is something I'm trying to change little by little. We're a grassroots nonprofit organization comprised of members. Those are the people we support, and those are seniors, 60 years up, primarily in Wayne County, Pennsylvania, also across the Delaware River in Sullivan County, New York, and a little bit of Pike County, the north part of Pike County. And then we're also comprised of volunteers, and those are the people who provide the services. And we offer them both the practical means and the social connections to live independently in the homes of their choice. We call it aging in place now.
I like that very much, and I'm sure they do as well. There's so many good memories, and they want to stay where they're most comfortable. But how does one really get involved in the organization?
If you're looking to become a member, in other words, to receive the services that GOT, that's our short version, stands for Growing Older Together, the services that we provide, we have a website. Folks can go to that. Our website is www.growingoldertogether.org. We also have a hotline, and that number is 570-630-0509. We have volunteers who are call managers. They work Monday through Friday. There's a morning shift and an afternoon shift, so they'll take calls of not only people who are interested in becoming members, but of course the people who are our members. If they're calling to request services, and then our call managers will link them up with a volunteer who can provide that particular service.
What are some of the types of services Growing Older Together provide?
Transportation is our largest service. We take people wherever they need to go, but primarily it's to doctor's offices and to appointments, but it can be to go visit their grandchildren, to go to the grocery store, to go pick up medications. We also do a lot of technology troubleshooting. Technology can be a problem for any generation, but seniors in particular usually need help with things like troublesome TV remotes or connecting a new piece of hardware to their home's Wi-Fi system, or maybe a credit card has expired on their Amazon account and they need to do some shopping. So we're able to help out with that sort of stuff. And social visits. Those are very important, especially in this area where we live. There's a lot of rural areas, and that means there's a lot of isolation. So we will go into somebody's home and have a cup of tea with them, read a book, just listen. Seems to be a lost art these days, or becoming one. We'll also check in over the phone. We do charge an annual fee for our services, $150 a year, and that helps to defray some of our operational expenses. We vet all of our volunteers to make sure they have clean criminal backgrounds, valid driver's license and insurance if they're going to be providing transportation services. And then we have a liability policy that covers everyone, both the members and the volunteers, when a service is being provided. We can't do everything for everybody. We don't do medical. We leave that up to the people who are trained to do that sort of thing. We do the things where we fill the gap, things that people used to be able to do for themselves and can't or shouldn't. Get up on a ladder and change some batteries in a smoke detector or some light bulbs.
How did you get involved in this kind of work?
I've always had an affinity for seniors. I like to call them that. I am one now, but even as a young child, I was very fortunate to have four grandparents, and three of them well into my adulthood. And I had very strong bonds with each of them, even though they lived in Iowa and I grew up in Texas. I always look forward to their visits down in Texas or us going up to Iowa to visit, and we do that once or twice a year. But I always feel I've had a spiritual connection, quite frankly, Lisa, to people that are seniors. And so when this opportunity came to me 3 years ago, I had a career in New York City in finance and technology, and then I became an actor, thinking I might make a living at it. Still, maybe that'll happen, but I moved up to my home in Sullivan County, New York, which is in the Catskills, and I had some free time on my hands. I was retirement age, and I had left that career in corporate world, and a friend of mine was telling me about a role that he was up for, the executive director of Growing Older Together, and I said what many people say, "What's that? I've never heard of it." And he told me what the organization does, and he had just gotten elected to a town board, and he's like, "I don't think I have time to do it." And I said, "I don't think you do either. I think I should have a shot at that job." And he helped to grease the wheels, and I got the job 3 years ago, and I'm the first executive director. The organization had finally reached a point in its life cycle that it was time for some paid leadership, and I got the role. And when I went in for the job, I talked to the board of directors, and I just remember standing in front of them, And I felt so comfortable, even though I didn't know what the space entailed. You know, I didn't know anything about running a nonprofit organization. I didn't know anything about fundraising, but I knew I was in the right place. And I just spoke from my heart, and I guess it worked. I was not trying to convince anybody. It's just the way it was. I was able to explain that I have that affinity for people of a certain age. And so far, so good. I think I have learned more about the needs of an ever-growing, aging population.
In your time as executive director, have you noticed specific needs seniors have in our region as opposed to perhaps maybe 10 years ago?
The services that we provide that were defined 10 years ago when we were a brand new organization haven't really changed. It's still the same. You know, if we needed to change, we would. We still wouldn't do medical. We don't outfit people's homes with ramps or grab bars, but we work with agencies in the area. We partner together to provide a holistic support structure for seniors in the region. 2 years ago, we partnered with another organization, a nonprofit in Narrowsburg, New York, called Tustin Social, and we developed these twice-monthly social events called the SAGE Sessions. And it's not specific to members of Growing Older Together. It's open to anybody as long as you're 60 years and older. We provide lunch, wonderful desserts, always a program. Sometimes it's entertainment, sometimes it's informational, sometimes it's educational. And it has become very successful. We have anywhere between 30 and 50 people each time we do it, which is the first and third Tuesdays of every month. And now we are going to bring that into Wayne County. We're going to partner with the Cooperage Project in Honesdale to do basically the same thing. And seniors want to look forward to things. They want to see something on their calendar that they know that there's on the first and third Thursdays or whenever it might be at 1:30 at this particular location. I know that I can go and see my friends, learn something, laugh a little, get a nice meal, and have some socializing. And, you know, that social connection, extremely important.
It is so important. When you are with a group of people that they've gone to a show or you see them socializing with people around their own age, do you see a difference in them? Can you pinpoint what that difference is?
I think it's a spark. I believe that humans are put here to be with other humans, whether it's to serve them, like we do with Growing Older Together, or where a child would help out an aging parent, or whether it's just to share experiences. I don't believe that we were just put on this planet to exist. I think there is a lot more to it, to share a spiritual fabric, if you will. And that can take so many different forms. Now, the older we get, a lot of those opportunities leave us, or they're just not around, or we're not able to take advantage of them because we're not as mobile as we used to be. So I think wherever organizations like Growing Older Together or Tustin Social or the Cooperage Project can create these forums, essentially, and people come in and participate, and that spark gets reignited. And you can see it in their eyes. You can hear it in the laughter. And that is what makes life worth living, regardless of how old you are.
Did you ever have the idea of maybe bringing a group of people together and bringing them to a high school or even a college campus and just having a back and forth with the students?
Yes. It was a project that actually came out of our local high school in Sullivan County. It was a group of juniors at the time getting ready to become seniors in their last year, and they put together a very compelling proposal to go out into the community, find seniors, and when they heard about Growing Older Together, they thought, oh, well, maybe we've got a group here. We don't have to go looking anymore. If GOT can provide us with those people and those stories and those perspectives, and we were able to, and it was essentially an interview, just like you and I are doing now. And our members were given free license to talk about whatever they wanted. And it was a good pilot project. It has yet to fully come to fruition, but the members of GOT that took part in that project found it very useful and rewarding.
I would imagine it would be not only rewarding, but just fascinating to hear about the stories of another person's life during wartime and how they had to deal with certain things. This day and age, we just get so riled and wrangled over things. And they had to learn to accept a lot of things, the past generation. This generation, not so much. So do you think that they can teach us some lessons as to how to accept and to move forward and just be hardy?
I think it's the only way. I was blessed to have grandparents that I had well into my adulthood, and they lived through 2 world wars, the Great Depression, the last pandemic, and they would tell me stories as a child, but they didn't say it like they were complaining or victims. You know, it was so awful and this happened to us. I mean, they described how it was not pleasant, but they didn't go on and on. And to me, I'm so grateful that I remember those stories, because I can look around now, and of course we hear what's going on in the media. That's where most people get their information, and I believe a lot of it has a slant that's based on fear, and therefore it creates this victim mentality that is very pervasive in society today. And I at least can look back and remember the stories that my grandparents told without any sense of victimhood. And I realize that there are always things that aren't so good that are happening in the world, but there are also very good things that are happening at the same time. And there's probably more of them. They're just not as newsworthy.
You really have to forage for that good stuff. But when you find it, it's gold.
There's a lot of goodness out there, a lot of good people. And I have found that running a nonprofit organization, I rely on the goodness of the communities to help us to fund our mission. People have been very forthcoming and very generous, and we're very grateful.
So what does the future hold for the organization? Now, you're there 3 years. Do you have any plans to put other programs into motion? Do you have any other kind of ideas that you'd like to maybe share with us now?
Our primary thrust is to continue with our mission, but make it available to as many seniors as possible. Now, to do that, we have to have volunteers. So I'm always looking for people who want to give of their time, and they're out there for sure, and we can train them, we get them vetted. That will always be our primary mission, is to get as many volunteers as we can. If we want to serve a new geographic area, we first have to have volunteers in that area so we can then take the seniors who need the services there. So growth will always be our primary thrust, as well as serving the members that we have. I would love to be able to offer our services to a greater number of people who might not be able to afford it. We do sponsor folks now who might have trouble with the annual dues of $150 a year. Our bylaws dictate how many we can take in under that scenario, but everything is up for consideration, and we can probably raise that threshold as long as we get the volunteers and then the financial support of the community to provide those services. Then, of course, I mentioned the social programs with the Cooperage Project there in Honesdale. So that's a big one. It's going to take some time to get off the ground. I had very ambitious plans to grow very quickly when I started this job 3 years ago, and I realized it didn't happen that way, and it's good, because if we grew too fast, you know, we would probably experience some growing pains that we might not be able to get out of, and we've grown at the rate that is meant to be, if you want. And that's been 25% each year. The number of seniors that we have brought on and been able to serve, as well as the number of volunteers, we've grown 25% every year. And those are greater than the targets that I had set, which were at 20%. So that's a good story to tell.
Have you ever thought of maybe getting a little symposium of seniors together to find out what extra needs they may have that maybe you're not covering right now?
Yes. It was a little over 2 years ago, before we did the SAGE sessions with Tustin Social, and we hosted an event with the River Reporter, which is a local newspaper based in Narrowsburg, but it serves the entire Upper Delaware River Valley. So we'd partnered with them, the Sullivan County Office of the Aging, and we had a senior symposium, essentially, and we've invited people from all over the River Valley to come, and we had focus groups, breakout sessions. It was very well attended, and we encouraged people to be as open as they could, just like blue sky it in terms of what's missing in your lives, what services are not available, what did you used to have that you don't anymore. One of the big ones was we used to sit on the front porch and jaw and talk. That's how we got our information, and that's where we had that spark that you and I talked about a few minutes ago. And because the internet is wonderful for so many things, but in an instance like this, it really takes away that face-to-face contact. So that is why we came up with the SAGE sessions, was to have that face-to-face interaction and to rekindle those sparks.
Everybody ages differently. Sometimes you're able to age without really any major medical situations. Other times you see people that have to go into a home or an institution or a hospital for a period of time. And that can be very depressing. Do you ever have people come to the hospitals to visit any of the seniors?
If our members go into a hospital or a nursing home or a rehab hospital, we will certainly go visit them if they request. We don't just show up. We will do that. Now, if they have moved permanently, they've really moved outside of what we can do for them. Now, many of our members and our volunteers develop friendships, because it's a level of intimacy, really. When a person finally realizes that they have to ask for help, they put their pride to the side, and somebody comes in that they don't know and provides that help. Quite often, there's going to be an intimate bond that develops. it becomes a friendship. So we have no control, but we also do not restrict what sort of friendships develop outside of the service structure of growing older together. So if our volunteers want to go and visit somebody who's had to move into a nursing home or to live with their family, by all means, they can do that. Once they have moved and they're no longer aging in place in their home, that's where our services stop for that moment in time.
You're really giving seniors an opportunity to stay in the place they call home or have called home for many years, stay comfortable, have an opportunity to socialize, have an opportunity to have someone especially come to them. What kind of feedback do you get from the volunteers?
It's very rewarding and very enriching. I volunteer as well. I figured when I joined the organization, I shouldn't just talk the talk, I should walk the walk. And I have found that to be one of the most gratifying things I've ever done, and I have developed friendships. If you can help them to stay in the home of their choice, that's what they want more than anything in the world. We are a member of the Village to Village network. There are over 300 villages in the United States that all follow the same model that started outside of Boston in 1998. And all of these villages across the United States, you know, we share best practices, we share good stories, we share ways that we could all improve the way we deliver our services. It makes you think, well, what is a village anyway? It's essentially neighbors helping neighbors. And villages build a sense of community. And whenever I go around and talk to Rotary clubs or senior centers, you know, I want to find out from those seniors, you know, what is it that makes community special to you? What does it look like, or what would you like to have it look like? And many of our volunteers are also members, so they give the services and they also get them.
From your vantage point, what do you see are the biggest strengths of your organization?
We enable independence. We don't single-handedly provide it, but just by adding value and filling a gap for someone who is, for the most part, independent, except for a few things, if we can come in and fill that gap, I think that has tremendous value. To give somebody a sense of belonging and an enriched quality of life, those are things that are intangible, really. The way they are tangible is when you see somebody's face light up.
What have you learned in the last 3 years about you?
Well, I've certainly learned about my own mortality, and I think I've got plenty of time left. I hope that I do, because I've got some living to do. Essentially, to cherish the moment. Cherish the time that a person has, that I have. Every day is a gift. It used to be a saying. For me, it is a reality now. And as we grow older, if we're fortunate enough to have had parents and we've gotten to see them age and possibly been there towards the end of their lives and to develop new relationships with them where it's a role reversal, that is also a gift if we want to look at it that way. And I think that shift in perception of reality is also something that I have experienced that's been a positive thing, even though it can be blunt reality. We've heard that aging is not for sissies, and it's true. But, you know, it's a double-edged sword. There are things, and, you know, a lot of hardships and challenges, no matter how healthy a person could be. But the wisdom that develops as we get older, the stories that we get to share with people who are our age or older, you know, that's very enriching, at least it has been for me.
Grateful for the time to speak with Thomas Cambridge, Executive Director of Growing Older Together, helping area seniors maintain their independence in their own homes while offering them opportunities to continue to thrive. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.